Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Apostolic Presbyterian Congregation. I was at the 12th house in the Elgin, Texas. Today is May the 18th, 2024. It is Sibian 11, 2028. We will start our sugar service on this Sabbath day with a song, and then I'll have a prayer thought, and we'll go into part two of Two Timely Greetings, number 33, entitled The Cleansing of the Sanctuary. So we're going to finish off this in part two. This is, it should be noticed, however, that the promised blessing, the cleansing, does not begin until after the 1,335 days or years have expired. Now those days expired in 1844. And now since the 2,300 year period begins in 457 B.C., with the commandment to restore and to rebuild the city Jerusalem, the 2,300 days consequently end in 1844. Now we have a war going on in Jerusalem today, that Rock 14 war, which is going to destroy what's left of Jerusalem. That's going to have to be restored after they get through with it here now. Okay. The time, the 1,335 days in, then the days of the blessing begin. It should now be remembered that this cleansing of the sanctuary includes the cleansing of both those who are to be resurrected and those who are to be living during the cleansing time. Speaking through the prophet Ezekiel of the cleansing among the living, Yahshua said, Ezekiel 36:24-29, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all of your filthiness, and from all of your idols will I cleanse you. For a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. I will also save you from all of your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. None of the living can actually be cleansed from all of the marks of the sin, while among the Gentile nations, for you see, as you can see, for they must first be separated from the hypocrites in the house of Israel, and the Gentiles from the wilderness outside of the house of Israel, then brought into their own land, there to be sprinkled with the clean water cleansed from all of their filthiness and from all of their idols when they get to their own land, not before. Even a new heart is to be given them there, and a new spirit also. This will be Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, calls them to walk in His statutes. And Yeshua told the disciples there in John 15:10, He said, If you love me, keep my commandments as I kept my Father's commandments. And He says that actually, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. John 15:10. Even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, and keep His judgments forevermore. Thus shall they return and dwell in the land of their fathers. That's in the land of Israel. They called it Palestine back then. And thus shall they be the Yahweh's people eternally. These things, you see, are premillennial. Let us now examine the cleansing according unto the prophets Joel, Malachi, and Jeremiah. Joel 3:21. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Yahshua dwelleth in Zion. That's in Mount Zion, the 12th hour. Malachi 3:1-3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, which is untypical Elijah, speaking to you right now, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Yahshua of the host, that he may abide the day of his coming. And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a full of soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering in righteousness. Jeremiah 31:31-33. Behold, the day has come, saith the Yahshua, that I will make a new covenant with the house of the Israel and with the house of Judah. So he's going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the 10 tribes, Ephraim, and with the house of Judah, the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, not according unto the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand for the bringing them out of the land of the Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yahshua. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of the Israel after these days, saith Yahshua. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their Yahshua, their king, and they shall be my people. For the old covenant has been to keep the commandments while they are written not on the heart, but on the tables of the stone. Against the will of the stony heart, but the new covenant is to cleanse them from their stony hearts and to write the commandments on the hearts of the flesh. Jeremiah 31:34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, And every man his brother sin, know to Yahshua, for they shall all have know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yahshua, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Okay. When the Yahweh's people are thus cleansed, they shall all know the Yahshua. Then they shall indeed be his people, his nation. I might add his righteous nation. That talks about that in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and Isaiah 66. And Yahweh's guarantee is this. Jeremiah 31:35-36. Thus saith the Yahshua which giveth the sun for a light by the day, and the ordinances of the moon, and have the stars for a light by the night. It says, by the night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Yahshua of the host is his name. That's the sun talking. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Yahshua, then the seed of the Israel also shall see from being a nation before me forever. Does the Yahshua do this because his people have been good, or because he wants to vindicate his name? Let us see. Ezekiel 36:20-24. And when they entered into the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name. And they said unto them, these are the people of the Yahshua, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had a pity for my holiness, which the house of the Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of the Israel, thus saith the Yahshua, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahshua, saith the Yahshua, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Plainly, the word declares that the sanctuary is to be cleansed, that the land also is to be reclaimed, and the kingdom restored, not by the reason of the people's goodness, but for the Yahweh's his son's name, Yahshua's sake, for his own goodness sake. For the heathen too will know what the Yahshua has done for his people, for the scriptures show that all this shall take place right before their eyes. This same cleansing Yahshua describes thus in Matthew 25:32-34. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall sit the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Here is a truth that the Seventh Day Adventist denomination has overlooked. They think that they are to make a beeline to the throne of Yahweh for the millennium. But according unto the scripture, here you see that people must first be separated from among the heathen, then cleansed from all of their filthiness, and thus be enabled to stand in the presence of the pure and eternal Yahweh. Thus is the sanctuary among the living plants, and thus are the people to be fitted for the reign with Yahshua 1,000 years. Brothers, sisters, make certain that you be found not among the goats on his left, but with the sheep on his right, if you are to hear the king say, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34. And remember that we have now been living in the time of the end for some years. Moreover, this life has now come because the cleansing of the living members of the church is at hand. This brings the end of Tea Time with Greetings number 33. And we have plenty of time left on 43 minutes left on this hour. And let's skip over now to Two Time Agreement number 35 and finish out our sermon. It's entitled The Yahshua of Righteousness. Okay. It says by Vicki Hollis. This is on April 24th, 1948. He gave this sermon. It's a present tense sermon today. So it says, our text is found in the Jeremiah 22, beginning with the 5th verse down through the 8th inclusive. Jeremiah 22:5, Behold, the days come, saith Yahshua, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Okay, so now, there's a righteous branch in our day that's raised upon the David. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. So this antitypical king is antitypical David. Okay. Here is a prophecy of the first advent of the Yahshua, the righteous branch, who is to execute judgment and justice in the earth. That's in the United States proper. The United States in that prophecy is to call the earth, Jeremiah 23:6. In his days, Judah, house of David, of the true tribe, shall be saved. That's the lawgiver of Genesis 49:10. And Israel shall dwell, and Israel the Pentecost shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called Yeshua, our righteousness. So this righteous kingdom of David is going to call Yeshua our righteousness. And rightfully so, because Yeshua has redeemed us and the sinful house of David by his blood and given them pure righteousness. In his day, that is, in the day that the righteous branch is raised, in the day of Yeshua, in the antithetical apostolic era of the last day, plainly then, someday in the apostolic period, in the antithetical apostolic period, inspiration makes known that the house of David, the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, shall be saved, and Israel, the ten tribes, shall dwell safely on the earth together. Well, the earth is part of the United States, so this is where this prophecy is unfolding right here in Texas. This promise, therefore, is made not for the unbelieving Jews, but unto the believing antithetical apostolic descendants of the 12 apostles, the house of Levi, and to those who have made the Yeshua's righteousness their own. Nevertheless, these apostolic believers, we are here told, are the descendants of both the Judah of the cross, the Pharisees, and Israel, who as a result of their dispersion in 721 B.C. and haven't been gathered yet, they were not there at the cross to represent the ten tribes. There was only the two tribes Judah there. The Pharisees represent the two tribes at the cross. And also in the joining of the antithetical apostolic congregation have, through the centuries, lost their racial identity. For the apostolic congregation, therefore, according unto the scriptures, is the main made up of the descendants of the Jacob, whose seed was to be as the sand of the sea for the multitude. They are to call Yeshua the Yeshua of righteousness. They will clearly see that their own righteousness is about the filthy rag, and will fully make Yeshua's righteousness as their own. Otherwise, they could not rightfully call him Yeshua our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:7-8. Therefore, behold, the day is come, says Yeshua, that they shall no more say the Yeshua liveth, which brought up the children of the Israel out of the land of Egypt, that the Yeshua liveth which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Having come to the great gathering day and the antithetical apostolic period, to the deliverance from all countries, to the second and antithetical exodus, Isaiah 11:11. Naturally, they will not say that Yeshua liveth, that brought us up out of the Egypt or out of the Babylon but the offshore limit that brought us up out of all the countries, brother, he has driven us. They give him the credit for their dispersion and for their gathering, and also for the dwelling safely in their own land. These, you see, are not unbelieving Jews, but thoroughly converted apostolic believers. Now they shall inhabit the land. Moreover, when this takes place, there will be no fear and no killing among Yahweh's people, no guns fired, and no bombs dropped on them, for the people shall dwell safely, and the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick, for the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Isaiah 33:24. For I said to Yahshua will be unto her as a wall of the fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of the Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Yahshua, and many nations shall be joined unto the Yahshua in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Yahshua of the host, the Son of Yahweh, has sent me unto thee, Zechariah 2:5-11. For the important thing right now is to find out what the Yahshua's righteousness is, and how to make it our own righteousness, so that we may have the right to his kingdom. For the Yahshua, however, first desires to know what we have against him. Micah 6:3-5. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of the servant, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what the Balak king of the Moab consulted, and what the Balaam the son of the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Yahshua. Since we cannot think of anything that we might have against the Yahshua, we had better find out what the Balaam answer unto Balak was, so that we learn what the righteousness of the Yahshua is, and how to make it our own. Let us therefore turn to the book of the Numbers, 23:16-17. And the Yahshua met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again unto Balak and say that. And when he came to him, when he came to Balak, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of the Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Yahshua spoken? Now let us hear Balaam's answer. Numbers 23:18-19. And he took up his parable and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor, for Yahweh is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" For the Yeshua's righteousness, you see, is the integrity, his sure promises, his might to perform. He guarantees his promises. They never fail. To have the righteousness of Yeshua, therefore, is to have the integrity and the faithfulness, and these we can never have so long as we mistrust him. Never so long as we doubt his word, for to doubt is nothing short of calling him a liar. To doubt is the greatest offense one can commit. No one can doubt Yahweh and still receive his blessings and promises. Or no one can doubt the Yahshua the Son. To have the righteousness of the Yahshua, therefore, is to implicitly trust him without the reservation. And where does he expect us to begin? He wants us to begin with the thing that troubles us most, the temporal things of tomorrow. He wants us to learn that we cannot serve self and Yahweh also. Matthew 6:24-26. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more better than they? So these are three verses plainly said that to live, to make a living, and to worry how you are to fare tomorrow is nothing less than serving mammon, self, that you cannot serve self and Yahweh at the same time. That if you serve Yahweh, you should be as free from the worry of the future as are the birds. Yes, you should be even more confident of his care, for you are worth more than the birds. You are wholeheartedly to know that so long as you serve him, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 41:17. When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for the thirst, I, the Yahshua, will hear them. I, the Yahshua of Israel, will not forsake them. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yes, will I not forget thee? Matthew 6:27-34. Which of you, by the taking thought, can add one cubit unto the stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. For they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even the Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if Yahweh so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought for the morrow, for it will take care of itself. But cross our bridges before you come to them. Why worry how you are to fill up your stomachs, and with what you are to cover your bodies tomorrow, if they are cared for this day? Why worry about your own needs? Why not worry how to advance the kingdom of the Yahweh, putting in the overtime to make tents or cobble shoes for a living is all right. If you do not say, I will do this and the other, and get money to buy and build this or that, you should instead say, if Yahweh permits, I will do this or that, so that I may get here or get there. Do this and the other for the advancement of his cause. Whatsoever the aim behind your act, it must be for the advancement of his kingdom. Okay. Why not make your chief interest his business? Why not the kingdom of the Yahweh and his righteousness, or the kingdom of Yahshua, the Son, and his righteousness, so that all these things be added unto you? Why work to feed yourself? Why not work for the Yahweh and let him feed and clothe you? He is far more capable of the providing for you than you will ever be. Why not let him take charge of your work, of your home, or your body? While you do his bidding, he will never fail you. Why not do this and be an altogether antithetical apostolic believer? Why be an apostolic in name, but a Gentile in the heart and faith? Work no longer for the self. Work for the Yahweh and be free of the world, free of having to make your own living in your own way. For the fishermen of Galilee, while fishing in their own way, fail. But when they cast the net where Yahshua said they should cast it, it was instantly filled with the fish. Know first that if Yahshua is not interested in your selfish business, but in you and his saving business. There is therefore no need of you serving mammon, self, and at the same time expecting his blessing on the mammon's interest. No man, even in the world, can work for his own interest and still expect his firm to promote him or keep him at any post of this duty. No employer hires persons because he wants his employees to make a living, but only because he wants his own business cared for. Know that the Yahweh's business is of the greater importance and of the further reaching consequences than any man's business, and that Yahweh is more particular than any man ever was or ever will be. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in the heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Always remember that Yahweh has not called you to your post of the duty in the order to feed you or to make you rich, but to save you and to save others to you. Therefore, whatsoever you do, do it all for the glory of the other. Then and then only will he provide all these things. For the things Yahweh sees fit to give, he will see that you earn your needs one way or another. Nothing less than the faith of the Noah, of the Job, of the Daniel will pay the bill. Brother, sister, because anything short of this is an insult unto Yahweh. It is the same as to call him a deceiver. Doubt in the promises of Yahweh completely robs the doubter of all of Yahweh's blessings and promises. Only when you learn to trust him will he be to you as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of the water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock and a weary land. Isaiah 32:2. Seek ye first the kingdom of the Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This promise held good in the David's time, and it will hold good now. Psalms 4:5. Offer the sacrifices of the righteousness and put your trust in the Yahshua. By the personal experience, David knew Yahweh's faithfulness, having done all that was to be done in the serving of the Yahweh, or the Yahshua as well. He was confident that when the bear and the lion came to devour his lambs, Yahweh would deliver him if he did all he could to spare them. Moreover, believing that the Yahweh had promised the kingdom to him, and having been anointed to be king over the Yahweh's people, David doubted nothing. Recognizing his duty, he fearlessly went after the giant Goliath, who was define Yahweh and his kingdom, and he was confident that the giant could not harm him. By the faith, he freed his people from the power of the giant. By faith, he overcame of the lion and the bear and saved the lamb. By faith he knew that the Saul could not take his life nor deprive him of the throne. No, there is neither beast nor man that can take your life or cheat you of the promotion if you do the Yahweh's bidding. If you know that he who keepeth Israel neither sleeps nor slumber, Psalms 121:3-4, that he knows all about you, my friend, every moment of the day and of the night, that he takes the notice even of the hairs that fall from your head, that whatever befalls you is but Yahweh's own will for your own good. I say, if you know and believe that he is the Yahweh and the keeper of your bodies and souls, then regardless what befalls you, you will be happy in it and give Yahweh the credit for it, not murmuring that joy find even joy in, even in your trials and afflictions. Isaiah 26:4. Trust you in the Yahshua forever, for in the Yahshua is the everlasting strength. If you wholeheartedly trust in the Yahshua, the Son, and if the world should fall into the space and collide with the stars, you shall happily fly along with the Yahweh. Let us now turn to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, and see what Paul knew by the experience and about the Yahweh's care over him. And 2 Corinthians 1:8-9, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of all of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were all pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the Yahweh, or in the Yahshua, who raises the dead, or Yahweh the Father that raises the dead. Paul learned by the personal experience that it is futile to trust in the man himself, but that it pays high to trust in the Yahweh, that he alone is able to protect and keep both body and soul. Psalms 127:1. Except the Yahshua build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Yahshua keep the city, their watchman waketh but in vain. Many of Yahweh's faithful people had the same experience as Paul. Time, however, will not permit me to speak more than a few when we enter into the belief which the Bible recommends. Then we are ready to enter into the experience which Yahweh wants us personally to be in, which after all counts most to us. Let me first give you my own as a concrete example of what Yahweh does when we let him. While running a small hotel in the middle west back in 1919, I became intensely interested in religion and providentially joined the Seventh-day Adventists. They were at the time meeting in a rented hall, not too attractive for a church, for the people appeared to be very poor. aside from the preacher, I was the only one that was driving a car, and he had a worn out Ford that I would not have given a dollar for it if I had to drive it. Imagine now what went through my mind. And you may know that I joined the church only for the truth's sake. Indeed, I had no other encouragement. My hope of getting rich someday became a nightmare, and of getting poor, yes, the devil gave me as good a picture of the poverty as he gave the Yahshua a picture of the glory of the kingdom. I nevertheless resolved to stay by the truth I had learned regardless what happened. Then the time came that I sold the hotel and accidentally got into a grocery business. But after a time I found that I did not want to be in it, and I sold it at a loss. Then that dark and gloomy picture of the coming poverty enlarged itself a hundredfold. But I did my best to keep happy in the Yeshua. Sometime after I had disposed of the grocery store, I left the city, and 6 months later I landed in California. There I took sick, and after doing all I knew what to do, one of the retired Seventh-day Adventist ministers that lived in the same place where I was living said, "Let me take you to the Glendale Sanitarium, and I will recommend you as a good and regular standing with the church, and they will give you good service and a lower rate too." Well, we got to the desk, and after the minister told me, or told him all he had to say, the sanitarium clerk asked me what kind of a deposit I could leave for the admission. I said, "A check." He somewhat surprised me, for I had been in a hospital before, but was never asked to pay anything in advance. No, not even when I was dismissed. They sent me the bill by mail. When he saw that the check was drawn on an Illinois bank, I had to explain that I was somewhat new in the West and had not yet transferred my bank account. The clerk reluctantly took the check, and I was assigned to a room, and politely told that I had to wait for the doctor until he should come around. Well, I waited all that day, but not a soul came, and in the evening, as sick as I was, I put on my clothes and went for supper into the dining room. Then I was told that the doctor was away, that he would see me just as soon as he came back. For 4 days this went on, and not a soul came into my room. I could have died and no one would have known it until perhaps days after. I suppose they had to get the money from the bank and find out if my credit was good before they would give me service. Finally, on the fourth day, the sanitarium chaplain came with the apology for his delay to see me. "If I had known that you were a Seventh-day Adventist," he explained, "I would have seen you sooner." I was not expecting him, though, and it did not make much difference with him, with me. But I said to myself, "If you did not know what I was, you should have come sooner." At last, the doctor came, and after a thorough examination, I was told that I was a very sick man and had to have a special a day and night nurse to look after me and to give me the hydrotherapy treatment. With my consent, a student nurse came in, but when the shadows of the evening stretched over the sky, the nurse told me that they were short of special nurses, and so he himself was to wait on me all through the night if I let him move his cot into my room. All the time I was there, though, he never once got up at night to wait on me. And thus I had a private day and night nurse, and in the end I was charged 50 cents an hour, $6 daily, for him to wait on me during the daytime, and $6 nightly for sleeping with me in the room. This, along with the additional charges, was a heavy drain on my already dwindling savings and the picture of growing broke and of staying poor grew larger and larger in my own mind. But I recovered from my illness and was thankful. Well, this sanitarium incident, though, produced another disappointing picture in my mind. Is that the sanitarium Yahweh's place for his sick people? I asked myself, for this people, really Yahweh's people, the answer that came to these question was this: the sanitarium is Yahweh's and the church is Yahweh's, but the people that are running them are reactionaries. They are the modern priests, scribes, and the Pharisees, that there is a need for more sanitarium or more Samaritans among them. This is where the Yahweh's truth is, though, and Yahweh helping me, I said, I shall stay with it. Yes, Yahweh did help me. I kept the faith and complained about nothing and stayed in the church with as good a record as any. After I left the hospital, however, I was weak and my bank account was almost depleted. It appeared to me, too, that there was nothing that I could get into with the Sabbath off that I would fail to the I'd fall to the mercy of some charity or else starve. Moreover, for the several months I had sent neither tithes nor my pledges of offerings to the church in the Middle West. Consequently, I owed something like $75. I thought then that if I should fail to pay this debt now, while I had enough to pay it, I could never again get that much money together, and it would have to stay unpaid forever. Better get broke now, I said, and to be free of debt than to get broke after and be a debtor forever. My bank account, I figured, was just a little over my debt when I wrote a check for the whole balance and sent it to the church in the Middle West. I was left with $3.50 in my pocket, and with no prospect of a job. Then I wrote to the bank in the Midwest that I was closing my account and that they should send the canceled checks and other papers to my address in California. At this point of my life, though, the table turned around as much as it turned with the Abraham after he had done all but stay in his son, slay his son Isaac on the altar of it. Just a few days after I had written to the bank, I heard from them, and to my great surprise, they had incurred a check for about $350 as my final balance. I never discovered how it happened. This is the end of our stuff. This is our contact at the 11th hour call. Number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with this song.
Where could I go but to the Yahweh?
Letting be known in this old sinful world. Hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore. Where can I go but to the Yah? Where can I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where can I go but to the Yard? Neighbors are kind, I love them everyone. We get along and see the poor. But when my soul is manna from above, where can I go but to the Yard? Where can I go? Oh, where can I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where can I go but to the Yard? My fairest friend, with things I love so dear, comfort I get from your sound word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where can I go but to the Yard? Where can I go? Where can I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where can I go but to the Yard?